You were sharing with us, Stacy, how for the poor, this just was not working out. The dream was a good dream that unfortunately became a nightmare, and partly because of woefully inadequate funding. But one of the things that you shared, you've alluded to this before, and you were mentioning to me again, that is that when it comes to institutionalization, when we have two different classes being locked away, funding and facilities can be very different for those two groups.
Yeah. I mean, for instance, Trump recently suggested we bring back lunatic asylums. And I thought, well, that's especially not going to happen now in your administration, because when we talk about lunatic asylums, just like the 19th century, we are once again talking about the poor. When the wealthy have any kind of mental issue that they are dealing with, you know, they've got all the money they need to go to private doctors and to get the best care that money can buy. So when we're talking about lunatic asylums, we're talking about people who cannot afford that kind of care. And running those kind of institutions, a public institution, is extremely expensive. And I don't see this particular administration coming up with huge amounts of money to take care of the problems of the poor.
Stacy, when we... I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask you, you know, as you share this, this discrimination that goes on between the two classes, I'm thinking, okay, you have a situation where someone may have, let's just say, committed a robbery. And as a result, someone is out $100, maybe even $1,000. Someone commits a white-collar crime, and as you mentioned before, there may have been thousands of people, maybe tens of thousands of people affected by that. Maybe we have thousands of families who lost their life savings because of this white-collar crime. And the stress, the strain that comes with that, and who knows what else caused by the stress and the strain, family dysfunction that may follow from it, etc. And one of the things that comes to mind, and I'd like for you to address this, we have so many people all across the country who are strongly in favor of throwing away the key once the poor are locked up for crimes that don't affect nearly as many people. But when they discover that the wealthy have much, much nicer institutions, they don't fuss about the good food that they get. They don't rant and rave about the nice facilities, truly nice facilities. They rant and rave about any perceived good conditions for the poor. They have little to nothing to say about much, much better conditions for the white-collar criminals who have devastated many, many more people by their crimes, some of them having maybe caused someone to have killed somebody in the commission of a crime. What is it about us as we the people that we are so ready to be so hard on the poor criminals and so easy on the white-collar criminals?
It's like a question for the ages, but I can tell you that the answer in part is that a campaign essentially to criminalize poverty that began in the 19th century, not intentionally, but eventually evolved, has been so successful that people just buy it. And what kills me is that, for instance, Trump regularly belittles Elizabeth Warren, who is one of the most vocal and active people trying to target and eliminate as much as she can white-collar crime. And you'll have people joining Trump to belittle her, and these are the very people that will benefit if she is successful. I mean, she's going after banks, for instance, that are committing crimes that affect them, not
yes.
the wealthy, them. And they just join him to chant against her. It's just that I do not understand.
Yeah, that's mind-boggling. That is truly mind-boggling. Well, I want to ask you, just as we close, if you would share something with the listening community that you began to share with me, and that is, in addition to writing great research that enlightens us about the world around us, that another mission that you have is to try to do at least one positive thing each day, how that impacts your life and how we may be able to incorporate that into our lives.
Well, the thing is, that grew out of something actually selfish of me. I was in a period of my life where I was very depressed and very sad, and I was just sinking fast, and I was trying to think of things to do to be happy again. And I read something where I think it was something like, you know, start a gratitude journal, which sounds like, kill me now. But one of the things it said was to do something nice for someone else every day. So I thought, I've got nothing to lose. Like, I wasn't doing it for, like, I'm a great person, I want to help the world. Not that I don't want to help the world, but my reason was to help myself. And so I started every day doing at least one nice thing for another person. And the thing is, it really does feel good. And even though my reason for starting to do that was entirely for myself, and I still do it because it makes me feel good to do it, but it also, I am glad that I am doing something positive that will hopefully have ripple in that other person's life, and consequently, it'll ripple further out and affect the world and to a greater degree. And that, to the best of my ability, I tried to do something every day that the other person doesn't know. Like, I'm not doing it for a thank you. I'm doing it, again, for myself and to do something good for the world.
I love that. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is something that we can incorporate into our own lives. And I'm thinking, Stacy, whether it's a matter of just holding a door open for someone at the grocery store, or something as significant, something as major, something something that would really require some time, maybe picking up the phone to call an elected official to say, hey, look, we want you to take another look at the way institutions are being handled with regards to our current prison system. These are some ideas that I have as to what can take, as to what can make things better. This is what the research is showing would make things better, and I really want you to take another look at this.
Yeah. I think it's important that you don't think that the thing that you do has to be a big deal, or you won't continue doing it every day. Mm-hmm. I think you have to allow yourself a small gesture if that's all you can do that day.
So whatever works for each individual.
Exactly.
In the meantime, I want to thank you, Stacy Horn, for having joined us today to talk about some of these dreams, some of these nightmares, some of these resolutions, some of these problems that face us and have been facing us for a long, long time. Again, everyone, the book is Damnation Island. You can find it online. You can find it in the bookstores. Thank you so much, Stacy. We appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
All right, everyone. Till next time.